just like everybody else said, I was pretty nervous when they asked me to I could preach. It kind of was like, it's always been a, since the Lord called me to preach, it's been a dream maybe when I was 50 to maybe come back and someday preach here. But I wasn't thinking now. I was like, no, no, thank you. But that's what God has for me. So if you could open your Bibles up to Colossians chapter 3. And also want to say thank you for all those who invested in my life. I wouldn't be able to be here or anywhere else if it wasn't for you and for what Christ has done. So if you can open up to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's look at verse number 4. It says, Christ, who is our life. We're going to look at that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this evening and this year. Even though it's been crazy, it's still been a great year. You've been able to teach us many things. And Lord, just please calm my nerves and give me the words to say. Just speak through me, Lord, and we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you can look at this passage right at that verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life. Now, to the world, some people think Christ is just, maybe he's just, Jesus Christ is just in the manger, this little cute little baby. Or maybe he's just a good man who did some good miracles, who just happened to end up on a cross and die. That's how the world looks at him. But he's so much more than that. The Bible says he is our life. And when we look at that, as I've noticed this, he's talking about neighborhood Bible time. We had this time for you to get alone and just pray and meditate in God's word. It's the best summer of my life. And that was when this passage started to mean a lot to me. Because Christ is not, he is first the source of our physical life. He's the source of our spiritual life. And he's the source of a purposeful life. First, Christ is our life because he gave us life. He's our creator. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In John chapter 1, verse 3, we also read there again. It says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then Job 33:4, we read again. Job's talking. He says, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. I've been given this opportunity this last semester. I still have a little bit left to read about studying apologetics and just studying defending the faith. And it's given me a love for that no matter how anybody comes at God, comes at the God of the Bible, they can't defeat him. It's no matter how they come at him, they can try to reason it out, but even through reason, looking at scripture, which is most important, but any way to look at it, the God of the Bible created each and every one of us, and he cares about each and every one of us. And they don't like that. They don't like that they are accountable to him. But he, in Genesis 2, he took some dirt, some dust, and formed man, and then breathed into him the breath of life. And he made each and every one of us unique. Unique so that we could have a purpose, and that purpose is to serve and obey him. The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So first, he's the source of our physical life. And even more great than that, he's the source of our spiritual life. And chapter 2, verse 13, it says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. It says, being dead in your sins, hath he quickened you. Quickened means make alive. We were dead in our sins. Just Adam and Eve, the Bible says that we read in Genesis 1, where Adam and Eve, they were told if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die in that day. And some would say, oh, they didn't die. They walked out of the garden. Yeah, but they were separated from God. They didn't die a physical death that day. They began to, but they were spiritually dead from then on. And every man from then on is dead. And each one of us has a problem. We have a spiritual disease, which they were the first ones to introduce to our world. And that disease is called sin, or rebellion, or disobedience to God. Because the Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And what we've done is we've disobeyed him. And each one of us has that problem of sin in our lives. And we have some symptoms. Each one of you have had symptoms of that sin. It's called guilt. It's called emptiness. It's called looking for something to fill, to cover that sin up. But nothing will except for Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's incurable. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So that sin is going to bring us towards death. Just that disease is going to bring us towards death. And people try to put filthy, the Bible says, they're good things. They're like filthy rags. A filthy, a dirty rag is no good on a wound. All it does is make it worse. But Jesus, he knew that we couldn't take care of our sin on our own. So that's why he, the way, the truth, and the life, just as it says, Christ who is our life, he, the great physician, came and he died on the cross. And so that he could provide a medicine, you might say, for each one of us, that is the blood of Christ. And so that if you don't know Christ, all you have to do is you don't have to go out and buy this medicine. You can't buy it. All you have to do is reach out, and you have to realize you're helpless. You have to repent of that sin. You have to realize you're helpless without Christ. And then just take out and take what he's already provided for you. Don't keep looking everywhere else. Because Christ is your life. Christ wants to be your life, and he is the only one that is going to fill any void that you have. But then, and just like in at the end of that idea, this Joseph, in Genesis 45:5, we read that Joseph was sent before Israel, was sent before the children of Israel to preserve life. It said he was sent before you to preserve life. In the same way as Jesus Christ was sent before you, he was sent to die on a cross to preserve your life. Because he didn't want you to have to die and spend eternity in hell. And some would say, I don't know if I can trust that. But honestly, if God can create the world, if he can create you, can't you trust him? Can't he do any other miracle? And thirdly, the Bible, we read that he's not only the source of a physical life, the source of our spiritual life. And if he's not, if you've never trusted him as Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Just like with death, physical death, if you have a disease, maybe cancer, and they've only given you so much time to live, you don't play around with it. You reach out and take that cure as much as possible, as soon as possible, which the Bible says is today. And lastly, we have the source of a purposeful life. First, if he can give us physical life and he can give us spiritual life, I think we should be able to trust him. I know we can trust him with the rest of our life. It says in Colossians 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In verse 18, it says, in all things he might have the preeminence. In chapter 3, verse 4, we read again, Christ is our life. And then in verse 11, Christ is all and in all. Later on, we read other things that of everything we do ought to be for his glory. And it says, Christ, who is our life. Now, we think about that, and some people will say sports is that man's life. He loves football. And if someone footballs his life, he's going to get up in the morning. He's going to work out. He's going to make sure he's eating right. He's going to go listen when his coach, whatever his coach tells him to do. Every moment he gets is going to be for football. If you're a musician, same with his idea. Every moment you get is going to be found in just playing, practicing, because your goal in life is to be a musician. Or maybe it's a person. If it was a person that you would say is your life, a special person, if you get a letter from them, you're going to read it, and you're going to, in every word, you're not just going to pass right by it. Well, the same thing is, Christ is our life. He should be the one that gets us up in the morning, is one that gets us going. We should be excited about and focused on. Sadly, many times we're not. This world pulls those things of sports and music and hobbies and people. They pull from us. They pull from that focus. And so everything I do must be done to bring glory and happiness to Jesus Christ. My life is not my own anymore. It's Christ. In Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." As I was studying, I came across someone brought out an idea. His name was David Guzik, but he brought an idea that it's not just for spiritual leaders. If you read right there, someone might think, oh, it's only those who are great, our pastors, those who are in ministry. But it's not just for them. The Bible says Christ is your life. It's for every person who has ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is now your life. It's not like you're a card-carrying member of the Christ Club, where you just walk up and whenever you feel like you pull out your card, Christ Club, and say, I'm a Christian. And when it's not good, you just put it in your pocket. No, when you get saved, Christ changes you. So now you have a new way of thinking. In the first three verses of chapter 3, we read, you're going to set your things, focus on things above. And then you're going to go on and not just have a new way of thinking. You're going to want to kill and destroy the impurity and wicked desires in your life, as you read in verse 5. And then we're going to want to embrace good speech and truth. The way we treat others, and this last year it's been kind of interesting the way people have treated each other with this racist stuff and all that. But if people would just look to Christ, that would deal with all these different problems. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Jesus is the answer. And then also give us a new love for his word. A love for Christian, godly music that honors him. And also, God promises we'll have peace. Our prayer life will be changed, our thankfulness, and even our sharing of him with others. If he means so much to us, if he really is our life, how can we not share him with others? And some may say then, well, I love Jesus. I know he's important to me, but do you really think this is kind of excessive. Come on, all these things, I gotta give my whole life to him? This is pretty excessive. But from Scripture, we could say, did he not give his life for you, though? And as it says elsewhere, isn't this the reasonable thing to do? The Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you can't love Jesus, as one man said, and not be willing to do what he says. They go together. And let's remember as we go into 2020, remember to focus on those things which are above. Remember to die to ourselves. Not that we are, if you are saved, you are dead. You're dead. But you are alive in Christ now. So whatever happens this next year, we don't know if it's going to be better or worse, but either way, because Christ is our life, we don't have to depend on if our finances or if something else goes wrong in our life. Christ is our life. He is the one that our life is found in. Our purpose is found in him and not in this world and what it has to offer. So when I first was thinking, okay, the first thing you think, okay, the title to that is Christ your life? But I guess that could be for those that don't know Christ as Savior. But those that do know Christ as Savior, it's not is Christ your life. Christ is your life. So live like it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity that you gave each one of us to preach your word. Lord, whatever was said, Lord, help use it for your honor and glory. And thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.